Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Amidst growing calls for education reform, attention is turning to Malaysia's Form 6, also known as Sijil Tinggi Persekolahan Malaysia, STPM. As educators and experts alike advocate for changes to make it a more dynamic and college-like pre-university program. So what potential changes or enhancements should be considered for the current Form 6 system? Let's ask our first guest today. Chan Sun Sing is the CEO of Teach for Malaysia. Sun Sing, thank you for joining me on the show today. Is Form 6 perceived to be a leading and attractive option when it comes when SPM graduates are thinking about their pathway to tertiary education? What do you think, Sun Sing?
Hi, Melissa. Thanks for having me. It's good to be here. You know, I think that the thing to be said about Form 6 and people who've done Form 6 will be able to resonate with this is that it's an extremely rigorous program. It's not easy to do well in Form 6, right? And I think that it remains an attractive pre-university pathway. Approximately 10% of students take on Form 6. Latest statistics from Ministry of Education is about 41,000 students doing Form 6. And so it is an attractive program, but I think that students would choose programs that would weigh in their favor, meaning that things that would allow them to score easier would then open access to opportunities like scholarships that are academically inclined. And so if students have an option to do an easier program, I think that they would opt to do that.
Okay, so bottom line, Form 6 is hard. But what's being said amongst education circles? When you speak to other educationists and saying, what are you hearing about how well Form 6 prepares students for the demands of university life, university education?
Yeah, you know, I think that university is fast changing, right, in terms of what the demands for university look like. And I think that what we see in terms of the trends of where university is heading towards is really ensuring that students have the skills that they need to enter into whatever career trajectory they plan to enter into, but also to develop really a lifelong love of learning. Right. And I think that what Form 6 does well in some ways is that it does prepare you for some of the academic rigor that you need in university, especially if you consider the rigor that Form 6 has towards the sciences. Right. And so it's very competitive against other international programs, probably even more rigorous sometimes than the A-levels science programs. So it does prepare you in that sense for it. But I think that what some of the challenges about Form 6 is that oftentimes for a student going to Form 6, it feels very much like a continuation of your secondary school experience. And I think that when you go to university, what university is looking for is for you to really be able to think independently and critically and take responsibility for your learning. And there's still a gap that I think that Form 6 experience has towards that, because it still really does feel in many ways like a continuation of secondary school, even though there have been reforms in place where there are Form 6 colleges, so schools have been converted into colleges, so students aren't necessarily mixing with the secondary school students. Students are allowed to dress with slightly more autonomy. They don't have to follow a specific uniform. So some of those things help, but at the core, it's not really fully helping students to be prepared for university life.
Okay, so if we were to say think through some of the advantages and maybe weaknesses of Form 6, let's think through what would you say are some of the distinct advantages? Why do you believe Form 6 should be retained as an option post-SPM into tertiary education?
Yeah, you know, I think that there are a number of advantages about Form 6, right? I think Form 6 is the option that is available to everybody. Right, so it's the option that's available to you, no matter what quota, no matter what background you come from, that will enable you to pursue a tertiary education. And Form 6 also is probably amongst the local pre-university programs, the most globally recognized program. So it is a pathway towards an overseas education if that's what you are pursuing at a much more affordable rate than, let's say, in overseas or international pre-university programs. And then, like I said, there is the rigor of Form 6 that does prepare you academically for some university programs. So I would say that those are some of the advantages of Form 6. However, mm-hmm. some of the challenges of Form 6 for many students, and especially I think that from Teach for Malaysia's perspective, we always think about the perspective of equity across society, right? And how are our education pathways enabling all children, no matter their background, to access quality education, right? And not holding them back. And so typically what happens with students from low-income backgrounds, for example, who we serve, is that every year that you're in school is 1 year less that you're earning money. Right. And so if I'm telling a kid from a low income background that they need to, that pursuing higher education or tertiary education could be an option for them, the amount of time that they spend in higher education is a consideration. So Form 6 is a very long pre-university program. So if you compare that, for example, to the foundation or the matriculation programs that are just a year, Form 6 is at least 1.5. But if you wait for SPM to come out, it's basically 2 years, 2 years for you to complete Form 6. So you do lose a lot of time there. The other disadvantage is that because it's such an academically rigorous program, when you enter university, universities don't weight the difference between a Form 6 graduate or a matriculasi graduate or an asasi graduate. If you get an A, if you get a 4 flat in matriculation, it's the same as getting a 4 flat in Form 6. Although we know that in Form 6, the rigor is so much higher.
Well, you mentioned a little bit earlier that there have been reforms undertaken to bring Form 6 into the 21st century, so to speak. What reforms have been implemented, and why haven't they been enough to make Form 6 the primary choice, or at least one of the leading choices of post-SPM?
Yeah. So, you know, some of the reforms that have been undertaken in Form 6, you know, I think that the Ministry of Education has tried to make it make a distinction between the Form 6 students as well as the rest of the secondary school students, right? So for example, a lot of the effort has been to shift towards these Form 6 colleges instead of housing it in a secondary school. In terms of the way that, for those of that have remembered Form 6 from a while ago, if you've done it, like, let's say 10 years ago, it's restructured in the sense that there are these 3 semesters that you take now, right? And one advantage is that you can actually retake the exams from previous semesters if you want to do better in those previous semesters. There is also more coursework that is built into the program instead of being just a fully exam-based program. So there have been changes with the semesters, with the retaking, with the coursework that has made it slightly more university-like. However, the reality is that at the end of the day, you go back to the learning experience for students, right? And at the end of the day, it still seems very much like an exam taking exercise where you're just in it to score on these examinations, and you aren't being really taught to critically think or critically assess or to be able to independently learn by yourself. And I think that that's a big thing that needs to shift
How might that shift happen if you believe, if what you're proposing is that Form 6 evolve so that the learning experience adequately challenges students to critically think, to cultivate independent learning skills? What actually needs to change, Sun Seng?
I think that goes back to similar questions that we might be asking across the entire education system, right? And I think that the Ministry of Education's desire is that even at the youngest ages, we are enabling students to be able to be critical thinkers who love learning, right? And so that fundamentally then is a question of how are we training and supporting our teachers to be able to deliver this, right? So at the end of the day, for Form 6 teachers, how are we training and supporting them, and also giving them the autonomy in the lessons in their classes to be able to have a more rigorous and engaging learning experience.
Right. I've been focusing a lot on the students of Form 6, the sixth formers. You mentioned teachers. What do you think needs, what support systems need to be in place for teachers? Maybe collaborating with the Ministry of Education and other relevant stakeholders to drive this necessary reform, the autonomy, the learning experience. What needs to be in place for all of that to happen?
Yeah, you know, so many things, Melissa, but I think that some of the things is that we need to support teachers specifically for their role as a Form 6 teacher. Oftentimes what happens is that teachers are trained, let's say, to teach across secondary school, and then they might end up being a Form 6 teacher, right? So you might have been a Form 1 or Form 4, Form 5 teacher for a very long time, then you might have one Form 6 class, or you might suddenly become a Form 6 teacher. So you're just kind of assigned that based on a needs basis oftentimes, right? And so I think how we specifically prepare teachers to be Form 6 teachers, maybe even considering whether we delineate some of that pathway, right? You're not just a secondary school teacher that becomes a Form 6 teacher, for example, but there needs to, whatever it is, there needs to be specific preparation that helps teachers distinguish what learning needs to look like at Form 6.
All right, Sinsing, thank you so much for joining me on the show. I appreciate your insights. Chan Sinsing from Teach for Malaysia. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned. Hello, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. We're discussing the current Form 6 system in Malaysia and the areas that may be ripe for reform. Cheryl Fernanda joins me now. She's the CEO of Pemimpin GSL Malaysia, which is an organisation focused on improving leadership in schools. Cheryl, thanks for being on the show today. Is this current system of Form 6, you reckon, effective when it comes to bridging the gap between, you know, post-Form 5, post-secondary school, and then pre-university, heading into tertiary education?
Yeah. So I think the Form 6 model has gone through many different iterations, all because I think the ministry, of course, recognized that there is a problem in, you know, it was still very school-based and all of that way back then. But I think after a few major things that they've done, I think number one is they removed like school uniforms for Form 6 so students can wear casual clothes. So it gives them more of a pre-university student type of feeling. They've broken it down into different semesters. And also there's a component on coursework versus exams. I think way back then when I did Form 6, it was just purely exams. So you study all of that just to sit for one exam at the end of the 2 years. I think that change has made it a little more attractive, I think, for students to pursue it. And then they are not so terrified of Form 6, right? People usually used to link this to being like the hardest exam, like, or the fourth hardest exam in the world and all of that way back then. But I think these are the small things that they do. And so breaking it down into semesters, breaking it down into coursework versus exam, removing the uniforms, and also allowing students to bring laptops to school. I think these are some of the things that they have done to bridge that gap.
Okay, so trying to make the experience of going to Form 6 closer to that of pre-university matriculation, SRC, you know, college and the like. Can you talk to me about whether you think Form 6 is an attractive proposition for many students? Even with these changes that you've mentioned, Cheryl, is Form 6 still considered an attractive option for SPM graduates before, as a pathway heading into university?
Yeah, I think way back then when I did it, it was unattractive. Like no one would choose it as an option. I only did it because I had no choice. And I think it's still the same today, if not maybe a little worse than how it was back then. I think now people have so many options to go through. So I don't think Form 6 is necessarily like the first choice for students when they can do so many things. I think number one is the length. People think that, oh my God, am I wasting my time? It used to be 2 years. I think it's a bit shorter now, 1.5 years. It still seems like a very long time to not specialize or focus on something, or to, you know, like to know where your trajectory is going. Second I think because it's not rebranded to be the same like A-levels or IB or these other pre-universities that have like an international recognition or like an international brand to it, I think it makes it like less of a choice, or perhaps just a choice if they have like nothing else to do. I think that is the truth, right?
Yeah, I hear you completely. And that's what worries me. When Form 6 becomes the fail-safe for students who really want to get into university, who are aiming to, who are in desperate need of a scholarship. So Form 6 becomes the only alternative. How, when we think about, creating equitable education for all, how do we make sure that Form 6 doesn't become the last option, the only option, and the least attractive option for students who desperately want to go to university?
Yeah, I think for starters is engagements with different stakeholders. I think a lot of parents, a lot of students themselves are not aware of the rebranding that has taken place for Form 6. Perhaps they're still thinking of Form 6 as that 2 years of like, you know, wasting time, or like, oh my God, I'm going to sit for this big exam. I'm going to have to study very, always associated with something that is so difficult, and A-levels being the easier option than Form 6, right? So I think its engagement with stakeholders is actually talking about Form 6 and its benefits. I personally think my life changed because I did Form 6. I think it prepared me so much more for university, because nothing was as hard as Form 6, right? So it prepared me so much. But just, you know, the amount of effort I had to put in for Form 6, I felt like it prepared me. And I would personally like encourage anyone to do it. But I think its engagements with stakeholders is talking about the rebranding. It is just making it, giving it that recognition that is on par with A-levels, it's on par with IB, and it has that rigor to it that these other exams, I think, don't have. So that's the rebranding, that's the engagement part that we need.
I'm with you, Cheryl. I did Form 6 too, and it was it changed my life, and it was the best period of my in my school life. And I think, but you know, that's a Freudian slip, because I think of it still as school life, even though you are technically leaders in your school, the oldest students in your school, therefore taking a leadership position. In your work, Cheryl, how have you observed schools when it comes to their approach to Form 6 students? How do schools treat Form 6s? How do teachers treat Form 6s? And how does that all kind of feed into their learning experience during these crucial 3 semesters?
I think because Form 6 still sits in the school, it's often very difficult to like disassociate them and think of them as student leaders, or think of them as, you know, they're already at the pre-university stage. By no fault of the teacher, I think naturally they sit within that school ecosystem. And I think if we are looking at what schools can do, I think it's like getting the students involved in the co-creation of their own leadership activities. I think these are some of the things that the school think about. How do they get Form 6 students? And there's also that perception that the Form 6 students would not want to join any of these other activities that seem like, oh, I'm done with this, right? I'm at Form 6, I'm not wearing school uniform, you know, I'm bringing my laptop to school. And I think schools struggle a little with that. I think making them fit within this ecosystem. But it's also that understanding of how can we co-create that with the Form 6 students so that they still feel like they are belonging to the school and there's a part that they can play in this school ecosystem.
Yeah, I like that, because just my personal experience was we found that Form 6s took on a lot of leadership roles. So how can school administrators encourage that? So school administrators, faculty, maybe work closer with sixth formers to foster leadership qualities, foster personal growth among students?
I think, and something that we don't do much in our Malaysian schools is actually asking the students what they want, right? What kind of activities would you think you've gone through, right? Like Form 1 to Form 5, right? Where are we failing? What can we do better? How can you guide the students? I think treating them as like equal in seeing maybe extracurricular activities as something that they are building together with the Form 6 students will give them like this very I would take it if I was when I was a student. I'll do this, right? And also students get that extra credit that they need for their co-curricular activities that contributes to their Form 6 exam with their whole new syllabus and the whole new system. So asking the students, I think we do very little of that, asking them, what do you think? Where have we failed? Where can we do better? What would you like to contribute for this? I think that will be the first step towards getting them involved in the school process.
Okay, so we need to hear what the students want and then include that in the reforms. So speaking of which, we understand that, you know, that there will be significant reforms to the Form 6 system. There's going to be rebranding, as you mentioned, a new syllabus in a couple of years. What would you like to see, Cheryl, in the changes to Form 6, but also to make sure that these changes are implementable and sustainable? The systems need to have infrastructure in place. So what, from a bird's eye view, would need to change to make sure that these reforms work?
So I think the rebranding is something that was in the Malaysian Education Blueprint that was mentioned as a rebranding of Form 6. And I think over the years, they have implemented it, like reducing the number of years, the semesters, getting the students involved, breaking it down into coursework and things like that. But of course, at the implementation level, perhaps we can look at better training for the teachers and also the school administrators, especially schools that host Form 6 classes. How can they properly assimilate the students into the school system without making them still feel like you are students, like, you know, you are in that Form 1 to Form 5 category? How can they give them more leadership roles? And I think in Malaysia, you know, whenever we have like plans and blueprints and all of that, it's all great, but we often fall short at the implementation part. So really re-evaluating the new rebranding that they have done, what has worked, what has not, and like what are some of the gaps that we still can address. So for example, like I said just now, like stakeholder engagement, really talking to parents, really talking to students, understanding how can they better brand Form 6 as an option, not just an option, as a choice for students, you know, as they want to continue on with their studies.
Cheryl, thank you so much for speaking with me on the show. Cheryl Fernando of Pemimpin GSL Malaysia, wrapping up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching and good night.